God bless you. Be seated first.
Now, Prophet Moses wants to start his own.
Me too, I'll be prophet. Amen. Okay, somebody coming here for the first time will say, hey, the man too is a prophet. Who is a prophet? A prophet is anybody that say God is say. If I tell you God is say, I am prophesying. Eh? If I read the Bible and I say this is what God is saying in this scripture, I am prophesying. And I'm either a true prophet or a false prophet. If I give the wrong interpretation of the word of God, I am false. And if I give the correct interpretation, I am a true prophet. And there are different types of prophets. Some hear direct through the voice, through vision. And some hear it through the word. And a prophet can manipulate, use his gift, and manipulate the hearer. And so there are some false prophets that use the Bible and dupe their members. You see, this word, Abraham, the only precious thing he had, God is saying he wants it. Today, God wants your Abraham seed now. Where is your Isaac? So the most precious thing you have, that prophet will collect it from you. And say, God is saying, that's a false prophet. It's a false prophet. So we can use this word and manipulate anybody. And we can use this same word and establish somebody. Today I will use this word and deliver somebody. And the name of the Lord shall be glorified. I love what this wise man Solomon spoke in Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 5, where he says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. And verse 7 is my emphasis. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, what shall you get? Get understanding. Get understanding. Children of God, the Lord said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The people of God are not destroyed for lack of anointing. What destroyed for is for lack of knowledge. Deliverance comes from a knowledge. Hallelujah. And Christ said, ye shall know the truth. Knowledge and the truth that you know shall make you free. Hallelujah. Freedom comes from knowledge. Freedom comes from knowledge. And that's why you will hardly see a lawyer that is easily jailed. You hardly see a lawyer that is easily locked up by police. Because the policeman knows that this man is a lawyer. He's learned. If you don't tread carefully, the thing you are accusing him of, he will use it and finish you. Because of a knowledge. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we too, we are supposed to be full of knowledge. So he said, Paul told Timothy that he should study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed,
rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing, understanding, and placing the word of truth. This is where this belongs. This is where this belongs. Amen. And remember that without faith, faith here, the just shall live by faith. Faith here is revelation. The just shall live by revelation. Amen. We are to grow from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation. The gift of faith in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is different from what Apostle Paul is speaking in where he said that the just shall live by faith in Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. So it is important. It's a prayer program, and we give a lot of time for us to pray, and then we allow the prophets to handle the prayers because we need that gift to direct us and let us know which areas to pray, you know, through that prophetic gift and the word of knowledge gift. But sometimes, I like to take some time so that you understand why we do certain things. It will help you. Why do we pray with water, for instance? Some people don't know why. You just come in here, ask questions. Ask questions. We give a lot of room for people to ask questions here so that you will understand what we are doing. You know, why do I have to smash water? We do this, use water ministration. We are calling water ministration. Why do we use water? Why don't we use any other thing? Why do we use water? You should ask. We do this every Thursday, our breakthrough program in the morning here from 7 o'clock to 10 a.m. Every Thursday we gather here for breakthrough anointing service. We do prophetic, we call it prophetic, as we smash water. Why do we do that? Amen. It is necessary that somebody understands it. But listen, church. The just shall live by faith. By faith. So that you'll understand. Because today we are going to smash this water. So that when you smash the water, you can understand what you are doing. I told you some time ago that somebody from Zambia who watches this program from Zambia called me and was asking me, he is also an end time message believer. And he said, and he's a minister, he said, please, Pastor Alu, he sent me an email. Sorry, it was an email. And he said, why do you use water for healing? He said, he's not asking me to criticize, but he said, because there's somebody calling from another town in Zambia also and told them that a particular sister, the wife of a man, that the wife was in pains, serious pains. They've done everything and it was not going down. And it was like maybe very late or so. They took all the drugs they couldn't, and they just know they just need God's intervention. He said he remember how we do in Bride Assembly. He watched us. So he said, told them on the phone, can you get a glass of water? And he blessed the glass of water, and he gave the, he told them to drink it, and the Lord will heal the woman. He said, shortly after, they called him and said, as soon as she drank that water, that the thing disappeared. So he's saying, so he's now asking, that he's not doubt, he just want to learn. He said, is there any scripture for it? Is there any scripture for it? So if some of you remembered, I shared this some time ago. I replied him, I said that Let him watch me the next Tuesday. I will answer him. And I came here and I said, it is not the water that healed. It is faith that healed. And so that day, that was before we started this construction, the poles, there was a pole around the altar somewhere here, those pillars. And I said, now, is water we use? You saw us use water. It can be anything. It is not the water. It is the faith. Faith. It is. Amen. God honoring what you say. There is the power of the spoken word. That is why for some weeks, I have tried to let you know why God gave us this mouth and a voice. So that you understand why Proverbs 18 tells us that death and life, they are in the power of the mouth. If I stand here, I say, if you do this, this will happen. And because I say it, and you believe what I say, and you do it as I have spoken, heaven will back it up. And so I told somebody while the man was watching, and everybody was watching, I said, you came here with your water, somebody in pain, you are sick, come out. It's for the purpose of demonstration, and one person came out. And I said, now drop your water. What's wrong with you? She is sick. For some time, she's not able to sleep. Pains all over her body. And that's why she came. She took all drugs and refused to go. That's why she came. You came to use water. I said, now, today, you will not use water. Drop your water. And I said, do you believe? Because I need her faith. Do you believe that if you hug this pole that is standing here, you'll be healed? And she said, yes. That's all. I said, now, you will hug this tree, this pole, pillar. Hug it, and you will receive your healing. And she dropped her water and hugged the tree, the pole, the pillar, and the power of God packed her. And when she recovered, she checked, and all the pains were gone. Was the healing in that pole? Amen. Where was the healing? The healing was in what I said. If she had gone and just held that pole, there would be no healing. She could have been tired and just leaned on that tree. There would be no healing. You can be thirsty now and to take this water and drink. The water will work for the purpose for which you apply it. It's because you know, if I take this water and drink, my thirst will be quenched. Therefore, when you drink the water, the thirst will quench. So also, if you take this water so that the thing when the waka inside your body will flush out, if you drink it, for the purpose for which you spoke and say you are taking this water, that is what will happen. This is what people don't know. And then all these dupes, all these babalawo that have changed to become pastors and all these motivational speakers that have changed their signboard to pastors, that is what they are using. They know this. They will not teach you so that you will depend on them. If I say it and heaven backs it up, I say it by the grace of God, and that grace flowed through the cross on Calvary. Healing, deliverance, freedom was released on the cross on Calvary. And you are there. Hallelujah. You are also saved by that same blood. You come under a covenant. As a child of God, there are angels that encamp around about you. And anything you say,
that is not contrary to the word of God, it's according to the will of God, those angels will bring it to come to pass. And the greatest problem we ministers in this church have is trying to take your attention away from us and make you look up to God and look up to the cross of Calvary because of where we are coming from. So every time you are a baby Christian, I am speaking today by a knowledge, by a revelation. If you catch the same revelation, you will do what I'm doing. You will do what I'm doing. The bride of Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to the bride. We are special. God did not send his son to the cross of Calvary to produce the type of faith we have in Christianity today. God, see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Our destiny, people don't understand. The Bible referred to Jesus Christ, the first begotten from the dead. Why did he specifically say the first begotten from the dead? People don't understand why Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. The day you catch that, they that know their God. Oh! Yeah. Praise the Lord. People don't understand why Jesus Christ came. People don't understand why God sent Jesus. And the greatest mystery that exists today that people do not know, they are blinded to it because we have been wrongly brought up, is about who Jesus is. People don't know that Jesus is the creator of the heavens and the earth that stepped out of eternity to time and came. That's why it's a mystery. And came and walked among his people looking for his children on earth here. And he finished the price, the process of redemption, and then went back again to glory. And people don't know what he has done. People don't know why Jesus Christ is referred to as Emmanuel, God with us. People don't know why the Bible says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and authority, government shall be upon his shoulders, and this will be his identification. And his name shall be called what? What? Wonderful. What again? Counselor. What again? What again? He's called. Let's read it. Let's mention it. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. You see, I want you to understand something so that you go and... Is Brother Caleb here today? Rachel is not here today. You know, I love that testimony. I love that testimony. This brother has been suffering. Attack. Everything he has brought down. Frustration everywhere. All he needed, I told him to meet me last Friday night. All he needed was a knowledge. When I spoke about midnight prayers during our vigil. And I just hope people catch these teachings we try to teach you. See, the grace of God upon me, listen, the type of grace that God has given me, if I want to act like other pastors, I will act it. You will be just depending on me for your healing, for your deliverance, for everything. You will just be depending on me. Amen. And before you know what, you will place me in a position, like they do. Listen. It's a wicked brother that is wealthy. A brother, your brother that is wealthy and places himself, instead of establishing you,
He waits. Anytime you have need, then you run to him. You'll be begging him, how much now school fees? Every time, take. Your child is sick. You come and beg him. And he has money to establish you to be on your own. And he doesn't do that. He is wicked. I say he is wicked. And any pastor that does not teach the people to have faith and stand on their own spiritually so that they will just be depending on him, he is wicked. And many of you have wicked pastors. And I'm happy for something. The ministers, you know, I am seeing less people now lining up to see me. That is the truth. Since I focus on this, I am seeing less people. I didn't stop you from seeing me. I didn't say don't come and see me. Because even as I finish here now, with all this while they talk now, some people go still come there. And they'll come and sit down. After we finish here, they will still come and sit down before me in my office. Hey, pastor, so nothing is working. So I come, I want prayer. The one what we do here, uncle, and let me quickly tell you, my office is not that room there. This is my office. This is where God called me. God didn't call me and gave me the office of air conditioned room. People don't know. I'm here now, you are not receiving, you are waiting to see me after. Don't worry, I didn't say I will not see you. I will see you after all. Nobody get the power to heal. I go pray now. If you are not healed, will you blame me? Nobody me now. I die for you on the cross. But I have a duty to do now. But honestly speaking, the kind of testimonies that excite me is not the testimony that will come. And then, at the midnight, and then they came, they were pressing my child. Then I called the pastor's phone number, and he just spoke, and the demon left. And everybody is clapping hands. You called the pastor, and he prayed. You don't have access to that God that the pastor called, Abby. Did the pastor use his name to pray? That name Jesus, you don't know him. And let me quickly tell you, I will say that if I want to provoke you, there is something in you you don't know. I want you to bring it out for your self-benefit. Praise the Lord. There are some of you here, the anointing you have for breakthrough, for healing, for deliverance, the anointing you have is even higher than my own speaking to you here. But you don't know it because you have not bothered to discover it. And how will you know? How will you know? How will you know? I was telling God, Lord, I had too many women, fruit of the womb some years back. Oh, I will kneel down every time. Lord, give me the grace for fruit of the womb. Lord, give me the grace for fruit of the womb. I was kneeling down by my bed like this, calling upon God, see women. They know that. And a voice spoke to me. He spoke to me and said, how will you know if I have answered you? I stopped praying. It's true. How will I know? How will I know if he has answered me? Guy, I felt so ashamed, there are prayers you pray. Lord, give me this anointing. How will you know he has answered you? It's simple. Begin to gather women and pray for them. That's how you will know whether I have answered you or not. How will you know you have a grace or not? Some of you, God tells you that you have that grace through the dreams that you have. But you won't even know that God is telling you there is a grace you have. Some of you, you know they see you, they pursue some people for a dream. For now, you see yourself, pursue, and you jump here, you pursue him. And when you wake up, say, I pursue him. God will punish all of you. Thank you, me. God is telling you, you have the ability to chase them away. That is a deliverance grace you have. You have the anointing to cast out devils. Praise the Lord. And so many others.
And if they are pursuing you, if now you they run from them, God is telling you that you are spiritually low, you have no power. Then go and pray, Lord, fortify me, increase my faith. Because the Spirit He has given us not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of boldness. We are not to run away. We are to face that. Praise the Lord. And God taught me these principles because I want to study. I want to understand. I want to study. I want to understand. And I told you one time, the experience I had with that spirit of Guru Maharaj, when I gave my life to Christ, that spirit of Olumba came to me. You know what happened in the spirit? I defeated it. Just the same period, just within the first 3-4 months, I gave my life to Christ. I was on fire. And then before you know what, Guru Maharaj came. It was in that revelation that I got to know. He took me to where? He told me the history of that land in Ibadan. And years after, when I started reading, you know, the story of that land, and then I remember, oh, so what I saw was exactly correct. He told me it was a woman that gave him that land. He told me in that revelation. I've never been there. I've never met him. I didn't even know where it was. And it took me, it was years later that I heard that a woman was making trouble with them, that it was her land and things. I said, okay. And then he came, showed me the whole of that place. And then he bent down. He was doing some demonstration on the floor. And they're telling me about his greatness and everything. And that is why people are initiated. And then he now, 1 minute later, he looked up because I was standing looking at him. And he told me, now, what do you think about Sat Guru Maharaj? And I looked at him with an anger. I said, Sat Guru Maharaj is a demon. Sat Guru Maharaj is from the pit of hell. And the lake of fire is where you... I was saying like that with my eye closed to pronounce judgment on him. And I had, shut up! And then he used his stomach behind me and pushed me like this. And I came out of that revelation. Now, the question that came to me was, he was in front of me. Why didn't he push me? Why did he come behind me to push from the back, not from the front? Now, that thing disturbed me until a few years later, I saw Ephesians chapter 6. Let's open it. This is what he said from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this is the armor. He's describing the armor now. Watch it, and by the time we finish, you will discover that everywhere is covered, only the back is not covered. It says, that's in verse 13, but verse 12, he emphasized, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. See the armor that you are supposed to put on now. Having your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. So, your loins, that is your waist. You know, it's a dress. So, it's a spiritual dress. This is how you are supposed to dress. Okay? Your waist, your loins girt about with what? Truth and truth. Amen. Must be sincere. And having on the breastplate of righteousness in front of you, around your chest, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the kind of shoe you will wear as a spiritual soldier, above all, taking the shield of faith. Shield of faith that protects arrows from hitting you.
where we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation on your head, the helmet, and what we use to fight now, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You will discover that the whole emphasis is your waist, your head, your chest, the shield, the shoe, nothing for the back. Why? In this spiritual battle, you are not to turn your back to the enemy. He will get you. Face him. Face him, face to face. David did not only face him, after he spoke, released the power of the spoken word, he launched forward towards the giant. Hallelujah. See people running away from a house and say, this house, evil day there. Now, evil house be this. Like I pack out. Since I enter here, everything went down. If I am to go to such a house, when I was moving to a house, the agent came and showed me and said, see Scorpion. Say, can you see Scorpion? Make you know, say, I not tell you before you park, you know. You can see, say, no, bony house with this. I said, what has that got to do with me now? This is a very nice house in a very nice estate. I want it. He said, no, make you know, come say, I give you house away because I don't bring plenty of people here. They know. They run away. Hallelujah. I said, now then be that. Me, my landlord, go run from me. Hallelujah. Now one night, now I go declare for him. He not going to wake up. Or, he going to leave me alone. Why should you be afraid of spiritual warfare? Greater is he that is in me. You quote that scripture, but you don't mean it. You don't even know the meaning. Your neighbor, amen. He says it's occultic. Your neighbor, so they drag all your customers. They drag in the cell. Me, I know they sell. That's a lie. That is a lie. Now one action only I will do. Amen. Just one action only I will do. We're going to do. How many people understand how Sir Janine and Jacka? Talk of war. You know what is talk of war? You drag. So what I go drag you to? Because devil never gives up. Don't think you defeat him today. You just say you don't go. He's going to come back again. He never gives up. Which not a live person unless he die. That's the reason Christians pray. Because the last verse there, verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always. The same Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Amen. I am saying this because we are in a spiritual battle. And this is the armor we are supposed to put on. There is no time to break these things down one after the other. But my attention is called to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I mean chapter 10, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, where he says, for though, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons that we use to fight our battle, the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal, but what? Mighty. Through who? Through God. Because Jesus in John chapter 15 said, for without me you can do nothing. Our weapons are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. But my emphasis is that we walk in the flesh, but our battle is not carnal. Our weapons are not carnal. The weapons that we use, they are not carnal. But they are mighty through God. If the weapons we have are not carnal, a prophet will tell you somewhere that your uncle, that your neighbor, that your stepmother is responsible for your frustration. Eh? You take off. Mama, what can I do you? Mama, tell me, what can I do you? Mama, be my mama. They do that. Now, watch it. When they throw away that thing on you, when that woman throw away that thing in you that God has exposed, did you know it? Did you see it? Was it a physical thing he threw on you? It was spiritual. And because it is spiritual, we will also face and answer her spiritual. That's the problem most people don't know. You go and start carrying people and, you know. Now, listen very well. This is very, very important. So that you understand what we do here every Tuesday and every prayer program we have. And when some of these prophets, whether here or somewhere else, tell you to do certain things so that you will understand. That, of course, let me be responsible for my own. What we do here. Because some places you go, they are actually just fetish people. Places you go, they are actually just fetish. There's nothing done there to give glory to God. But let me tell you, no matter how it is abused by fetish people, there is still a spiritual principle of fighting spiritual battles. So the first thing you do, like I used to say, in every conventional warfare, hallelujah, there is a part of that battle. Years back, they have advanced even beyond that. During the Cold War, Russia invented an aircraft. Because they were number one enemy of America, and they were also a superpower. Communism versus capitalism. And communism wanted to sweep around the whole world, and capitalism, that was why they would do anything if they know that Russia wants to come to any country, this third world country, America will spend billions of dollars, you cause confusion there, remove and change the government, and put their people there. That will refuse Russia to come in. They were fighting that to secure themselves. And America, Russia, produced an aircraft called MiG-21. The first people that produced a supersonic aircraft, that is, an aircraft that is faster than sound. That is, by the time you hear, okay, the maximum speed, for instance, from Kano to Lagos. If it's to take off from Kano to Lagos at maximum speed, is 7 minutes. In 7 minutes, it takes off from Kano. It is in Lagos. Nigeria Air Force had it at one time. But corruption have grounded all of them. Praise the Lord. Now, immediately by the time you are hearing the noise of aircraft, so you can see, by the time you hear the noise of the aircraft, it has destroyed already and it has dropped all its bomb and it's gone far, far beyond any reach. Because by the time you hear the noise, it is faster than sound. See how long it takes you to hear me. It's faster than that. America shook. How will we do it?
How will we fight this aircraft? They went and America invented a weapon that can fight it. What is it? Psalm 7 up to Psalm 8, that is SAM. Surface to air missile. Surface to air missile. But this Psalm 7 is also an intelligent bomb. For that aircraft to move like that, it produces a lot of heat. When the thing is going, you see fire on the ash. Real fire. So, they put something that traces heat. That is shot also at the same speed of sound. So when the thing passes, they will shoot it and the thing will trace the heat. Wherever that aircraft will go, they pursue them. Pursue them until they enter in Yash where that fire they come out and blow the aircraft up. I'm telling you something. So Russia said they don't do this one. They say there's something we shall do to counter them. While they were doing that, America started immediately preparing their own aircraft too that is supersonic. While Russians discovered that, hey, they have something that they can get us. Finish all our aircrafts because that bomb will not stop. That bomb will not stop until heat, only heat can stop it. Wherever the heat is, the fire is, that is where it will go. They devise another thing and attach it to their aircraft, the Russians. So when the pilot discovered that they don't fire or something, they pursue me, oh, then he will shoot a particular ball of fire to the right and shut his engine. And then duck away. Then that thing will follow that thing. And blow it. The aircraft is gone. They have diverted it. Ah, put your hands together now for these people. Until America finish their own phantom aircrafts. Now, we don't need that again. We will meet you in the air. Anywhere you go, we'll pursue you. Well, let's fight in the air with supersonic aircraft. Then, you know, that is how they have been going. Maybe you people don't know what ended the Iraq war, the end of Iraq war. Saddam dug bunkers underground and made it bomb-proof. Cover it with the layer, the decking was how many feet thick? That was able to take more than 500 soldiers can be underground there. Saddam. And during the reconnaissance, everywhere America knew about the bunker. So that if America drop any bomb, when it scattered, they will all come out. They cannot get us. America knew they were preparing that bunker. America was preparing a bomb called intelligence bomb. America, when it was time to end that war, 500,000 soldiers. Saddam had the largest number of foot soldiers, infantry. They were in millions. That's why he was using and harassing the whole Arab nations. And America was busy. They discovered that. Intelligence. I'm not telling you a story of war. I am going spiritual. I want you to learn something. Because the story I am telling you are supposed to know too. Are they American army? Praise the Lord. Because we read it. That was what ended the war. What did they do? They want him to stop this or surrender. He refused because you think you have this thing. One, just one. From the aircraft carrier that was in the sea, they launched that bomb. The bomb will land on the spot and then begin to dig. Begin to dig. It will continue to dig
until he fell down there and exploded. 500,000 soldiers died one day and were buried there. That was when they came out and surrendered. Why am I saying this? It's the Christians that don't know about battle. What you see happening physical makes us understand what is happening spiritual. Especially these holiness pastors who don't know what it means. Just the word. Let's just stay with the Bible. What do you say with the Bible? If you stay with the Bible will teach you how to fight war. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, you are now, if it is a witch that is disturbing me like this, God's mercy will come down and tell you, they carry you, they tie you in a tree. See something many Christians, you know, make another mistake. They want, unless you follow them to the compound and do the deliverance, they will not believe. You don't need that. You don't need to go anywhere. It is the action. It's a spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. Just as, see, the man in North Korea is there playing with his life and playing with the life of millions of people. They don't know that America has a mad president now. And they don't know that in one day, Korea can finish. Finish with American weapons. And Trump has been warning him, warning the man. The man is doing like, I saw one monkey that was in one video that was joking with a hyena. Eh? He go there like this, jump up again. I say, see this stupid animal. That's what many of us do with principalities and powers. You can't touch me. I'm a Christian. You can't touch me. I'm a Christian. You can't. Hey, touch me, make I see. You're playing with fire. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, America does not have to go. Do you know why America got very worried? North Korea, they developed a missile that can carry a nuclear warhead, a bomb, that if it drops in Lagos, in 5 minutes, even trees will dry up. All human beings gone in the whole of Lagos. In five, less than 5 minutes. That is nuclear weapon. Now, North Korea has nuclear weapon. Then they are testing, they say they are testing missile. What are you testing? You want to see how far that missile can go. And they calculated the distance between North Korea and America. And they invented the one that has the strength that can go 1,000 so kilometers in the air. How many thousand kilometers in the air? 6,000 kilometers in the air before you go land. And America said, you have us for target, Abby. Warn that man. Don't launch anyone again. Don't launch anyone again. If you launch it, you will see pepper. They came to South Korea and line up their aircraft carriers by the sea there, and then told South Korea that we are doing military exercise jointly with South Korea. They are doing exercise. They are warming themselves. Say, no, we are not coming to North Korea. We're only doing exercise. Because they have the backing of China. And China is saying, America, you are not doing exercise. We know what you are doing. don't, you two don't touch. Don't touch. If you touch, we too, we have. Now, but why I'm bringing this up, praise the Lord, is to see that North Korea is not planning to go to America before they will attack America. They are developing the ability to stay and launch their weapon 6,000 kilometers away from North Korea, and it will hit the target. You don't need to carry anybody to your village. You can stay even here now and launch now. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you like, run, go to America. That witch in the village, all he needs to know is your name. And what will tell you, even get your picture. Hey, you are finished. And you will do the thing in the village there and throw it, and the thing will go like a surface to air missile. And then go and locate you where you are. Woo, powers. The only thing you see, say, I was in a dream and I received shot. I was in a dream, they were pursuing me. I was in a dream, dog bite me for America. They send the dog from where? Dog there, America, where they work, where they bite people. From your village. Amen. You are watching me from America now. From America there. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you don't know this, you will just be every time go to church and you think solution is moving from church to church, when the solution is in you. It's in knowledge. Praise the Lord. It's in knowledge. Hallelujah. So, what we should bother ourselves studying is, how do these witches and occult people attack us? That's what we should be busy doing. How? What do they use? You know what? And sometimes God will even show you those things in the dream. You won't understand. But through the gift of the word of knowledge, through a prophet, they will tell you. Hallelujah. Prophet Sunday, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said they tie him, Abby. And they were going to kill him, Abby. Hallelujah. And then he himself saw it. He said, he saw me. Amen. He saw me take a lamp in the spirit and gave it to them in exchange, and then he removed him. Now, but we know that John the Baptist told us who Jesus Christ is. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. On the cross on Calvary, he shouted, "It is finished." Then he says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Believe what? Believe what he did on the cross. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils." We have authority to bind and to loose. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. But how do we bind? How do we loose? We can know it from witches and wizards. There's a prophet here that a woman, anytime she gets belly, when it reaches a certain month, 3 months or so, miscarriage up to 8 times. Then he came, and then the prophet said, Oh yeah, go and buy padlock and bring. And then, what is the name of the baby? You have given the name of the baby. He talk. He write the name of the baby and tie it around that padlock and prayed and said, "As I lock this padlock, so will that womb remain locked."
the baby that is there will not come out until it grow fully. In the name of Jesus, a locker. He give the woman the key and the palo say, keep it. When you are ready to deliver, come. I will open it and you will deliver. It's a prophetic action. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We call it what? Prophetic action. Things that you do physically and it is pointed to something. You connect it to a situation. You connect it to something that you want an effect on. And you say, as I do this here, let it happen like this there. But the difference between our own and their own is they do it by the name of Babalawo. We do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. He gave us power to bind and to loose. Yes, if I speak in the name of Jesus, out, it will go. But there are different weapons for warfare. Anybody, they lock you. There is people who have gone for family deliverance, ministers here. You will know. The Lord will say, to point a place, you dig it, you will see padlock, rusted. I've been there for years. You will see, maybe, they will see 8 padlocks. Count the number of children in that place, there will be 8. Buried there. You know. And several things that witches and wizards do. Now, some people will come and say, but now I am in Christ now. Why should this thing work again? The Bible says, I am free. You are free by a law, but you must enforce your freedom. The law sets you free so that now you could not deliver yourself before. Now you have freedom. Go and enforce your freedom. That is why we pray. If we are free, then why do you still pray? Hallelujah. Sit down and reason about how to walk with God. Now, he has no more power over you. You cannot possess your possession. You can go to that shrine the Lord showed you. Or you know that is where your father put all of you. And you can go and speak to that shrine. In fact, you can put it on fire. Not by your power. Not by your might. At the mention of the name of Jesus. And do you know why? Because there's another principle that entitles you to it. He says, he that believeth, go and preach the gospel to all nations. What is the gospel? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe it? He said, you believe it? He said, he added, go and preach that gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism also is a prophetic action. Jesus died. He was buried. On the third day, he resurrected. Do you believe that it's because of you he went to the cross on Calvary? Because of you he died and he resurrected that we might have freedom? Yes. Then, let's do prophetic action. You confess it. You go to the water. You are buried. And you come out. You have connected to what happened on the cross on Calvary. It's another prophetic action. All the power that they have over you is broken. It's broken. We have prophetic actions in the Bible. Jeremiah 51. And other scriptures. Jeremiah prophesied the downfall of Babylon. And he sent somebody. He wrote it in a book. He said, go to Babylon. When you reach Babylon, read this. Of all the destruction that is coming upon Babylon, and that Babylon will not rise again and do this prophetic action. Tie it to a stone and go to River Euphrates. And throw it
as that stone will be taking that prophecy written in that paper down, and nothing can bring it up. He says, so, he said, and say, so shall Babylon go down and never come up again, and throw it in that river and go. And that is how many of us, the curse that was laid upon us, I still walk into today. They tie you as you go, that's where you go come. Put you somewhere, put you in a cage, and some is in a cage. They cage you with whatever it is. And so we come here and we say that this is a point of contact also to a cage somewhere. Water is a life-given liquid, substance, a liquid. So it's a point of contact to somebody's life. Amen. So we too, we will pray. As I will smash this water, any cage that cage my glory, let that cage, wherever it is, in the village, where I am walking, where I am living, in my church, wherever, let that cage smash to pieces for my deliverance in the name of Jesus. Bah! And you say there's nothing here. If there's nothing there, I have seen people that smash it, they still refuse to smash. I have seen people that smash the totally, they still refuse to smash. I have seen a sister that we did this one time in the bush, somewhere in the Assemblies of God. We went for a camp program there. From this church, she threw it all like this. The thing began to waka, they go. Waka, waka, she went, the thing entered bush. She searched for it, she didn't see it. You said there's nothing there. They closed my womb. Let this be a point of contact to my womb. Rubber, they pray. As I will smash this, hallelujah. Let my womb be open for conception in the name of Jesus. Oh, towers. You say, will it work? It works. If it works for which, it will work for us to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I was ministering one day here. And the Lord opened my eyes to see one young girl. Where is she? She said, Anulika. Robbie, you. Why you open your mouth? Eh? One vigil. Was it vigil?
It was in a program.
Eh?
December camp.
It was a camp program.
Yes, December camp.
A young man engaged her to marry. And then suddenly, all his finances block. So that they will not do wedding. They don't go do traditional marriage. All of a sudden, nothing coming in anymore. Did you tell me?
We've not done wedding. Not done the
tradition. Oh, okay, the traditional. Okay, you are planning tradition.
We are planning to do that one. That was no more.
The traditional marriage. Okay, that was when they block everywhere. Did you tell me before the Lord brought you that day?
No, sir.
You didn't. And I was ministering and I saw something. Is this your case? He said, yes. She cannot not even go and bring a sachet of water. Is that correct?
Yes,
is that
sir.
What you did?
I did. I smashed outside.
You smashed it outside
then
and came back.
After
1 week, money from everywhere began to come from left and right, east and west. Sit down, sister. I am telling you something that is practical. It is spiritual warfare. It is for deliverance. I am a deliverance minister. And I'm telling you what God has showed me for the deliverance of his people. I am teaching you this is for your own good. I didn't sell water to you. So don't think I'm doing anything to take advantage of you for anything. Did I sell water for you? I didn't sell water for you. Now listen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They tie your market. We're not going to sell. Amen. Go carry out. Carry. Depends on how serious. Because the Bible says some problems demons cannot go except by fasting and prayer. the intensity of that prayer will determine whether you should fast or not. There are some that you have to go with fasting with that cage for some days before you now come and say, oh yeah. And it is always good also at midnight. Do it when that is the time they did it. They know they do witchcraft, don't they do for afternoon? That's what I was telling you on Friday about Friday vigil. Come for vigil here, let us pray. You think we're just gathering and playing here. You sit down for house because you have Professor Sunday's phone number. Thank God, Professor Sunday, don't pick anybody's phone number. Don't pick anybody call. Your God, don't pick call. My own God, once I just say, in Jesus' name, he will say, my son, here am I. What do you want me to do? Instantly. But you, your own, you go die. You go buy credit first. Then you go, some even pray. Amen. Even pray. Oh, Lord. See how foolish human beings are. Oh, Father, I want to call Prophet Sunday. Father, cause him. Cause him now to pick my call. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. I want to call Prophet Sunday. Father, cause him to pick my call. Hey, Father, Father. You are going to Sunday to talk to that your father for you. Are you a Catholic? All that time when you say, oh Lord, touch Sunday. Why not say, touch my problem? Then you are calling for 3 days on Sunday, never. Then you will come to church again. They pursue Sunday. They pursue Sunday so that you will not say, Sunday, a human being like you, he too needs that same God the way they talk. Praise the Lord. You don't know that when Sunday has problem, he they come to me for prayer. Praise the Lord. Prophet Sunday, his wife give him 4 boys. Four boys. And he go pregnant again. Doctor said another boy they come. Amen. And he didn't like it. I think it was somewhere here he was standing. Now me pray for the wife and I made a pronouncement. But one pronouncement, sister, take your baby girl in the name of Jesus, and the angel carried out the work. Today, every pregnant woman here, by the same power, you will receive your own too. You, anyone looking for fruit of the womb here, you will receive child today. And that week, she went to the hospital and delivered a baby girl. Baby girl. You the pursue him, pursue him, pursue him. Instead, they pursue person, pursue person. Instead of you to face your God. Now, I didn't say you should not come to us for prayers. But I'm saying that I've been making this statement. We pray with you, not for you. You know, we as believers, Christian brethren, we pray with one another. Because the prayer of agreement is more powerful. It's very powerful. He said in Matthew 18, said it. If two of you shall agree concerning anything, husband and wife, your prayer is very powerful. Hallelujah. But the idea of you going to look for money to give somebody to go and pray for you, you will learn it from Catholicism. It's Catholics. All Catholics don't have direct access to God. No Roman Catholic has direct access to God. That is their religion. Their own religion is you must go through a mediatrice. You must go through a medium. It's either saint or virgin mother. You cannot go direct. So when you have problem, you can go to the mother of Jesus and say 70 Hail Mary. Even the mother of Jesus, you cannot hear you at all. You must say it a number of times before she will listen to you. Says 70 Hail Mary. That is why they have what they call chaplain. It's actually for counting prayers. That is their religion. I'm not against it, though. That's their religion. Muslims have their religion. Buddhists have their religion. We Christians, too, we have our religion. Hallelujah. at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee bows. He said in words, in deeds, Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, whatever you do, do all. In which name? In the name of the Lord Jesus. You want God to hear you, just shout that name, Lord Jesus, because through Jesus, access was made to the throne of grace. Not through Mary. Not through St. Jude. Not through St. Bartholomew. Lie. Not through any man. For there is only one mediator between God and man. And who is that person? The Lord Jesus. And his glory, listen, he did not attain that position by appointment of a man. A man did not venerate him and made him to become a saint. Hallelujah. He earned it on the cross on Calvary. And none of those saints died to make anybody free. Mary, in fact, her virginity ended after the birth of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why we are in the condition that we are in, Christians. You see, I take so much time saying this thing to build your faith muscles. I want to hear testimony that somebody will say, after that day, I went to that shrine by myself. I spoke to that shrine. If you know who you are, who's a shrine? Who's a witch? Who's an occult person to attack you spiritually? To bring any invocation and incantation. Didn't you hear that there can be no enchantment against Jacob? Did you hear that you cannot curse whom God has blessed? Don't you know that the Bible says I'm a purchased possession of God? I am a property of God. He has the final say over my life. And when you come in that knowledge, anywhere they lock me, it can be padlock. As I open this padlock, I break that chain to pieces in the name of Jesus. Bam! And it may be mirror. I discover that anytime I'm going for an interview, one particular person will call me. You know it happens. You are going anything better, they follow. One better something. They call you. Where are you? Why they ask? Did they monitor you? It happens. Phone call will come. Who are you? Once you notice they are monitoring me. Hey, will they monitor me, Abby? Tomorrow is the... Merely you get any better appointment. You carry mirror also. Take anointing oil in the name of the Lord. Cover the surface. And pray. As I smash this mirror, whatever they are using to monitor me, scatter to pieces in the name of Jesus. Put it there. Scatter it. Scatter it. Destroy it. Our sister for 10 years looking for fruit of the womb. Until she came here, God bless her with the fruit of the womb. Her mother-in-law in the village called her husband. Your wife is pregnant, Abby. And the man was asking, Mama, why do you ask? He said, don't ask me a question. She will deliver safely. Then say, make nothing happen to that child. He said, who? He said, why you they ask? He said, we went somewhere and they say, that child, nothing should touch that child. That means they were monitoring and they were now going back again to do what they used to do against that woman, and the angel came down. Somebody here, after today, the angel will start to work for you. Are you ready to send your angels to work now? Laban was planning evil against Jacob. While he was sleeping in the night, he had a dream. The angel of God said, I know what you want to do. You will go, but don't touch him. Go and discuss the matter. He's a child of covenant. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High.
shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If there is anybody here, the word of God says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And if you have not yet been baptized, you are wasting your time going for any deliverance anywhere, because there is a prophetic action for your deliverance. It is water baptism. And it must be done properly. And we have taken that teaching for so long. Faith for this. Faith for this. To know why we smash this. It is a point of contact. Hallelujah. And why do we drink the water? Because we know that if a flower is dead and you want it to come back to life, what do? Water it. Dry bones shall rise again. Prophetically, therefore, as we drink this water, restoration, restoration. Come here every Tuesday and water your flower. Come here every Tuesday and water your life. And that is how your testimony will be changed. Whatever they destroy, as you come and do this water ministration, life will be coming back. Life to your business, life to your finances, life to your market, life to your ministry, life to your body, even physical body, in the name of Jesus. That is why we do water ministration here from time to time and every Tuesday. Thank you very much. Stand up.